Thank God. In the day we're living in today, the church world all over, they are celebrating the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem. The crowd welcomed Jesus as he entered in, as they grabbed the palms, the palm trees, and waved them at Jesus. Laid down their coats and laid down their cloaks, and he rode on a donkey. Didn't ride on a horse. Horse was a sign of the military presence that was there, and that would bring victory. But Jesus came, and let me put it to you, as a servant, to serve. The palm branches, they sang, Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna is, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And they shouted praise to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, not realizing what was taking place in that realm. But I do want to bring in another branch of a tree, the willow. I want to talk about that. As I've asked you to show me your palms, the title of the message, Show Me Your Palms. As we bring that up, as we look to what God has given to us, how many knows there are seasons that you go through? Trying times at times, but the times of comfort and joy. You have that. So one day you're up, next day you're down. You have those seasons. I'm not going to mask it. Tried to say, no, it's all grand and glorious, but you will walk in seasons. But they're for a purpose. Thank God for those seasons. Go to Leviticus chapter 23, and we will begin here. But keep your Bibles handy, because there's quite a few scriptures I'm going to bring out today on this Palm Sunday. In Leviticus chapter 23, it talks about the Feast of the Tabernacles. One of the feasts that the Jewish nation had, and they celebrated. But we see here that in this, it establishes some things in this type of feast that was going on. Stand for the reading of God's word as we honor God's word and his instructions from the word of God. Go down to verse 40. Of Psalm of Leviticus 23. Verse 40. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Now, I understand we have it on the overhead, but I encourage you to bring your Bible and bring your hard copy. Yeah, it's on technology, but they can change it so quickly. And so let's make sure that things haven't changed. We're living in a changing world. I understand that, but we don't want the Word of God. The Word of God never changes. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It will, and it says, the world pass away, but his word will never pass away. Thank God for his word. But in this chapter, in this verse, we see some instructions. And he says, and you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees and boughs of leafy trees and willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. Instruction for Israel and what they were to take in the Feast of Tabernacles. We see that Jesus came to fulfill what God had given him to do. But more than that, fulfill prophecy. Fulfill not only the calling he's got, but the will of the Father. It says, the instruction says, come into his presence with these two branches. In one hand, a palm branch, and another, a willow branch. Very significant as we look to the word of God. Now touch your neighbor, says, are you ready to show your palms? Get ready, get ready, get ready. You may be seated in God's presence. The palm branch symbolizes some things here that we want to look at from the Word of God. It also brings up some things that we understand When you see a palm tree, you don't understand. They are designed to last years and years, hundreds of years. They're just there unless the wind really takes them out. But they can bend. They can do this. But their branches just seem to keep flowing like they should. They just keep kind of flapping in the wind. But it symbolized the branch and the palm was, that is from that prosperity, victory, success, and joy. How many knows that's the right things to have to praise God with? Can I hear an amen? Amen. Show me your palms. Show your neighbors your palms. My wife's up there going, she see my palm? When you show your palms, that's not telling God, says, speak to the hand. It's not telling God that at all. He knows what's going on. He knows everything. The willow branch and what it means and symbolizes, because as we read from Leviticus and Jesus coming in and the people were fulfilling some scripture here, was fulfilling some things that was happening here. We're going to see some things here, a prophecy that took place, but some futuristic prophecy that will take place also. So we want you to get ready to receive what he has. And now it begins with us as we worship God. They did with Jesus coming in to Jerusalem. He is the coming king. But can I put it to you? He is the coming king of kings. Lord of lords. He is the one that's coming back with power, might, and dominion. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. We need to get ready to praise him like we've never praised him before, even in this life. But the willow branch, what is this symbol of? Distress, sadness, trials, and at times adversity. How many's ever seen a willow tree? What does it look like? You're motioning it. You're right. It's like that. It looks like it's really crying. It looks like it's just kind of, you get an under willow tree, it's kind of nice. My mom would be the one say, because we had a willow tree in one of the places we lived, and when the boys, my brother and I say boys, we were boys then, we would get in trouble. And what you say? Go get me a willow limb now. And she wouldn't use just proper nouns. She would talk in middle terms. And what I mean by that, our middle names came to play. Before, it was just name only. But now, the middle names. Ricky James, go get me a willow limb right now. So what did we do? We'll just get the smallest one they have. We looked and looked, and we finally brought Mom back and says, that's the beginning point, but you're going to get me a larger one, or I will get it. So we see this, and at that point in time, we cried. It wasn't a point of seeing the willow tree crying. We cried. We felt the effects of it. The willow represents those times of distress. Those times, how many's ever been in times when stress seems to be overwhelming you? And all of a sudden you go through sadness. We've all go through areas in our lives when sadness overtakes us at times. Trials has hit us from one point or another. It seems like it's just right there. It's a season that you're going through. And even at times of adversity, and you will have it. You will go through those things. But I am thankful for this. The Lord calls us in every season. And he says, I will be with you in every season. Thank God for the presence of the Lord. It makes a difference when you go through those seasons. It makes a difference when you can look to him. See, me as a husband, as a father, grandfather, and even as a pastor, I've been in all these seasons, both the seasons that we're talking about. I've had the good, the bad, and at times the ugly. It seems like everything hits you and you don't know which way. Your mind is pulled from one way. Your emotions are, seems like it's just being tormented in one way or another. But all of a sudden you come into the presence of the Lord and all of a sudden those seasons don't look so bad. And then you can lift your palms up. Thank you, Lord, you're with me. Thank you, Lord, you're not forsaking me. Thank you, Lord, you're carrying me at times when I didn't know which way to turn. Even in the times when it was weeping, when it seems like you didn't know which way to turn, the Bible says that there is a book being recorded in heaven, the book of tears. How many's ever shed tears before? Am I the only one? My palm's going up because I'm telling you what, I've shed tears over issues and things, and there's things I didn't understand, and God, I stood and I faced a wall, and I says, God, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening. My heart's been broken, and it felt like everything that was happening, and I was weeping and weeping and weeping, and all of a sudden, I felt the Lord's hand of comfort come my way. The helper just showed up, and God's presence showed up. He says, you can make it. You can go forth, and it seems like God was reaching down and wiping the tears from my eyes. Thank God for the presence of the Lord. Even in those times, that's the reason why in Leviticus, bring forth the praise, the joyous times, but also bring forth the times you didn't know what to do and God was still there. Thank God for that. In Psalms 30, verse 5, it says, weeping may endure for the nights, but the joy comes in the morning. How many knows that you go through night seasons when you didn't see clearly? You couldn't see clearly. You didn't know what was out there, but all of a sudden you see the sun coming up. My granddaughter, I had Rita with me yesterday, and we was driving around going some places, and she comes up with this things that, where is this coming from? And she was looking out the window, and she goes, Papa, I see the moon. It's so pretty. And she goes, I also see the sun. And she goes, it's bright. It's pretty too. She goes, I love both of them. You know, sometimes God gives you a little bit of light at night. The moon will shine bright and you can see clearly. It's like a night light. But all of a sudden, when the sun comes up, the moon light goes away, fades. And you see clearly now the sun comes into play, what was happening at night and what was going on. Weeping may endure for a season. It may be a night season for you, but I'm here to tell you and encourage you. Get ready. The day is about to spring forth. Thank God for that. See, I've had the palm seasons when it seems that there is prosperity, victory in my life, and it seems like success was just there, and even joy, and it seems like there. But I've also had those times when it was seems like nighttime, and I didn't know which way to turn, which way to go. Those were the willow times when it seemed like crying. But I'm here to tell you that God was there all the time. Let me encourage you as we celebrate the Palm Sunday, this Sunday, as we raise our palms to our coming King, to the one that was raised up upon a cross that said, it is finished, that you and I can have a right to go to heaven, that to be forgiven. That was a time, that was a night season for him, but for you and I, that was the breaking of the day. That was the time we could say, I'm forgiven. I've been placed on the roll that's going to be called one day. When the roll is called up yonder, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be in the Lamb's Book of Life because of Jesus Christ. Thank God for that. See, God calls us into those seasons, though, both. Night and day season. Even in the natural, you have them. I thank God for those. But I want to encourage you, come into his presence. Don't let things overtake you. Don't let your mind wander and think in your imagination. That'll bring a stronghold. That'll keep you captive. See, the coming king, and that's what, when Jesus came into Jerusalem at the entry point, he knew what was going to take place, but he was the coming king, and they were celebrating him. Go to, if you would please, John chapter 12. John chapter 12. John chapter 12, as we read some things from the Word of God that we see, we'll read verses 12 through 15. It says here in verse 12, if you're there, say amen. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." We see in this first celebration that we have designated this day, the historians have, thank God for that, that we can celebrate palms of what was taking place here. A celebration of victory, a celebration of joy, celebration of prosperity. See, Jesus brought every bit of that, but he brought even more: love from the Father, peace from the Father, joy beyond our comprehension. Joy not only comes in the morning, but when Jesus comes in your life, it's a new day. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, thank God for the joy of the Lord. He gives me joy, not like the world tries to bring in. The joy of the Lord is totally different. It is consistent. It's constant. It never changes. When they celebrated Jesus coming into Jerusalem and him riding on a donkey, a colt, it says that they gave clothes, or his cloaks. They laid him on the donkey so he could ride on them, but they also laid him down, as they did with the branches, for him to have a path. But what does it mean when they gave the cloaks, they gave their coats, they laid them off? It means that that was a sign of release. We're giving over to you. It's a signification of trust. We're trusting in you. How many trust in the Lord? In God we trust. See, a cloak is an identification. When you take your identification of what you've been going through, what you've been around, you lay it aside to the Lord. I no longer identify with this. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, he says, "I am crucified with Christ." He was identifying with Christ. Don't take just interest in him, but identify with him. They were coming into a place of trusting. God, we trust in you. Jesus, we've seen what you've done. We trust in you. But it's only on the natural. We as a church, sometimes we take on things because we're going through things, issues and areas, and we ponder and we think on them and we weigh them and we figure out what's going on. The Bible says, casting our care upon him, for he cares for us. See, when you take off your cloak, take off your coat, you take off your identity, you lay it aside as on the altar, and you give it over to the Lord. Said, "Lord, I can't handle this. I don't want this to wrap around me anymore." They were saying, "We've been under some things that's been weighing us down. This military takeover, the Romans have kind of done some things that was not so good. So what they were saying, we give our allegiance to you. In the day and age we're living in, there's a lot of people said, well, I'll give you this. I'll give you this portion of my life, but I'm not going to give you all my life. I'm not going to give you everything I've got. Only a portion. Too many times we're seeing a falling away, which the Bible predicted it, and it prophesied it. And we're seeing it with so many people. They don't want nothing to do with the church or identifying with Christ. They don't want to do that. But these people, they chose, I want allegiance with you, Jesus. See, our coming King is coming back for a church that is glorious, without spot and without wrinkle. Thank God for the glorious church. The church is not going down, it's going up. You may have some churches that close their doors, but the church of Jesus Christ will never close the door. The gates of hell will never prevail. We are advancing, whether they like it or not, whether the enemy likes it or not, we're advancing. They made allegiance of themselves to this coming king, this new king, the king that they see things happening through him. They had palm branches and they cried out, Hosanna. They came into his presence with praise. Come into his presence with praise. Come into his courts with thanksgiving. What was the praises? Victory. What did Jesus bring to humanity? What was the church? Let me tell those outside, because the church folks seem to not get it. There's only just a few that says what it is. Victory. Now, church, what did he bring to us? Victory. And for us. Victory. Victory.
Let's put it this way. We scored. We score big.
We win. Whether you realize or not, I've read the back of the book. We win. Because of Christ and what he's done. He's already paid for it. He's given it to us. And now he's entering in to finish what his earthly ministry was so we can step into the next phase, which is interceding for you and I. He was anointed as a prophet on this earth. He's anointed as high priest in heaven. But I'm here to tell you, he's been anointed King of kings and Lord of lords. See, when they were praising of victory, they were saying and quoting from Psalms 118. They were acknowledging and prophesying of Christ, the messianic plan that God had. But it was a psalm there that was talking about Jesus being the Messiah. Thank God for the Messiah. That's a Jewish term, but we still hold on to it because he is the Messiah. He is Christ, the anointed one. Anointed and appointed to give us everything we need in this life and to have it more abundantly. Aren't you glad for that? This world's like a thief. People will try to take, they're like thieves, this things and around us that bring stress and things on you. If you'll come to Christ and release to him, let go. Don't take your identity of the circumstances. Don't take your identity of anything else, but you put on Christ. And when you put on him, you put on what he is. He is the King. He gave me authority to be what I need to be. See, these coatless people, with palms in her hands. They were waving people. Let me see your palms again. Wave them at me. They were waving. Krista, you got yours covered up. But when you lift them up and you wave them before him, how many's ever waved at somebody? I've waved at our youngest granddaughter. And she'll wave. She's now to the point, if you wave at her, she'll wave. And if you don't wave back, if you put your hands down, she'll keep waving until you wave back. I'm sure that when we see Christ in heaven, he's waving at us. Waving. And I think we need to sometimes just come into his presence and wave. Give a wave to the Lord. Let's do that. How many's ever been into a thing where you wave? Let's start over here. Start there. Start waving. Now, let's go over here. Wave now. There we go. Let's wave from here to side. You wave to the Lord. You give him wave. You give him, say, Lord, we thank you. By you raising the palms, which is us, palms of praise, palms of victory, palms that we see of joy. And we see God giving us all these things from what we give to the Lord. He gives back to us in a greater measure. See, waving people, shouting for joy. Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is the one that comes. But they missed it. They didn't take the true reason what was taking place. Sometimes I think we believers, we need to take a hold of what the true reason why we do certain things. While we come to church, sometimes you'll see people raise their hands. That's reaching up to the Lord, and God sees your palms. But it's a time of praise. It's a time of surrender. God, I'm yours. Try me now and see. The true reason for Jesus coming and his presence. See, the crowd looked for a political solution from a Messiah. They looked for a national solution to be a nation without being controlled of. But Jesus came for a different reason. Not to set up his kingdom as of yet, but to put it into play. It was a spiritual reasoning. He came for humanity. Humanity had come into bondage. They were under the control of sin. And that sin life controlled them to the point they couldn't even see clearly. But when Jesus comes in and he gives you his life and gives you, you can know with a surety that you will have life and have it more abundantly because you become born again. See, the primary need of humanity is spiritual. This life is going to pass one day. Let's be honest. Everybody hangs on to it thinking I'm going to just hang on to it forever. And they take their tent stakes so deep they seem to can't pull the things up. But I'm here to tell you one day. The Bible says there coming a day when you will face it. It's appointed unto man that you will die once and then the judgment. So every single one of us will face that unless the rapture takes place. There's no way avoiding it. But while we're here and walking in this, we can put our trust in him. These people were looking for a political solution, a freedom from a political regime that was taking over. They wanted a nationality of Israel again, like they once had it, but they came under authority of someone else. There's a lot of people under the authority of sin, but more than that, of Satan himself. But Jesus came to destroy the works of Satan. Thank God for that. See, when he went to the cross, he put his foot down on Satan's head and he bruised it. Even though Jesus' foot was bruised, he was nailed to a cross. In the beginning, Eve was told that the seed that you will bring forth will bruise the serpent's head, but he will bruise the heel. But Jesus put his foot down. Enough is enough. Touch your neighbor, says enough is enough. Too many times we carry a load we shouldn't be carrying. We carry things that we shouldn't be carrying. We have no business of carrying things. We need to turn it over to Jesus. Let him. That's our allegiance. That's our identification. We take it off and we put on him. We become servants of his. The religious leaders, when they seen this, they seen the crowd praising him and glorifying him and honoring him. Waving the branches. They understood some things, what scripture was given, but they told, and they told Jesus, and he says, keep them quiet. Keep them quiet. And Jesus in Luke 19 said this, if these quiet, the stones will cry out. See, I don't want stones to cry out in my place. I want to lift my palms while I'm alive and I got breath in me. I want my breath to praise the Lord. I want my palms to wave before him. I want him to see that he's got one that is on his side. I'm cheering you on, Lord. You are coming, and you're coming as a King of Kings. Thank you, Lord. He just didn't die, and that's it. The Bible says he came out of grave with victory. Thank God for that. I'd done a message last year, first time I ever done it on Easter or Resurrection Sunday. I call it Resurrection Sunday because we celebrate his resurrection. The tomb is empty, so I don't have to be. See, I don't have to be empty any longer. I can be filled up with the Spirit of God. I can be filled up with his word. I can be filled up with the blood being applied to my heart and knowing that I'm all right. Today we need to take our palms again and wave them before the Lord. Come on, do it again. Let's be in practice. This is practice. Thank you, God. I like Barb. She's going like this. But I don't like just to. I like to get my palms up there. I want him to see me. I want him to know, hey, you've got one on your side. Go to Zechariah chapter 9. Zechariah chapter 9. We see some things here that was written by the writer here, the prophet. Zechariah 9, verses 9 through 12. A fulfillment of prophecy. When Zechariah wrote this, it was 500 years before the event that Jesus come into Jerusalem took place. Sometimes God gives you a word and you may not see it happen right away. 500 years took place. That's a long time in man's terms. But with God, that's only a half a day. Because the Bible says, and Peter says, to the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. Wow, it just a fast, about a half a day. That's all it took in God's perspective. I got things in order. In other words, God is saying, I got this when he gave this prophecy. But let's read this. It says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Verse 9 of chapter 9 of Zechariah. Shout, O daughters of Jerusalem, behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of the covenant, I wanted to shout when I read this. The blood of the covenant, Jesus gave that, and he said, my blood is the new covenant. Thank God for that. And it brings things with it. It says, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today, I declare that I will restore double to you. Let me put it this way as we enter this up. Double for your trouble. God is about to give you double for your trouble. Zechariah prophesied this event of Palm, as we call Sunday, but it was an event that Jesus went through when he was going through that. Jesus came to fulfill God's will and fulfill prophecy. Riding on a donkey as a servant. Can I put it to you this way? A new destiny just appeared to these people and they didn't realize it. A destiny is that you're on a journey and you have a destiny you're going to go for. Destiny had came to them, said, I came that I'm going to pay a price. But more than that, I've got a place for you and I'm preparing it for you. The destiny is heaven. And when we get to heaven, there's nothing like it. We've only seen and heard about some things from the Word of God. Half has not been told. But heaven, we can have it now on this earth. Heaven on earth as it is in heaven, joy unspeakable, full of glory, and thank God for the heaven that God gave us, we can live in now. As Jesus came to fulfill that, a new day came. Verse 10 says that his people would be, or his rule, not his people, his rule would be, and it would extend to the end of the earth. Thank God for the end of the earth, for God is going to end it one day, what we know about. Time will end because in heaven there is no time. Time is given for mankind because we have 24 hours a day we put together. We have the sun coming up, sun setting, moon coming up, moon going back down, and we have those seasons in those areas. But when we get to heaven, the Bible says that Jesus is the sun. And he is the glory of heaven. Thank God we're going to be able to see the glory of heaven 24/7. You won't have to worry about sleeping. Not to worry about, I got to take a nap. Am I right, Brother Gary? Amen. How many can say amen? How many ever takes naps? Okay, there's nothing wrong with naps. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that when we get to heaven, God's going to give us such a glorious time that we don't have time for that because there's going to be so much to be seen. See, we look from 3D vision. But when we get to heaven, our vision is going to be heavenly vision. And it's going to be God because God's going to reveal himself over through eternity. There's so much to God that we can't even fathom. We can't even picture. Thank God for that. One day you may think that I enter in, I'm just going to see just a few of my loved ones, and all of a sudden God shows up. Let me show you some things. And you seem like a million years have gone by in worldly terms. But all of a sudden God says, I've got another million to show you. Let's go to 10 million because I've got so much to show you about me. See, he's got so much to reveal to us. And Jesus came to do that because the palm is to our King and our Lord. When you raise your palms, who do you raise them to? See, we have a Lord and we have a King. We have one we surrender to. We give our allegiance to. We identify with. We take off our old coat and we put on the new man. The new creation. We become the new ones. Because Jesus entered in to where the cross was, can I put it to you this way? People were in bondage to sin. Sin had grabbed a hold of this world and it was a detriment. But because of the new covenant, Jesus had the key. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the key. The authority that we see from the Word of God, that he come to the jail and he opened the door. In other words, jail. Break. Get ready for jailbreak because that's what Jesus brought. See, his ministry was to bring freedom. Whom the Son sets free is what? You step out of the gate, you step out of the door of the prison, and you step into freedom. Thank God for freedom. Say, I'm free. See, Jesus brought that to our lives. And thank God so many people have not yielded and they don't know the full. They only stepped. They want to step out. Oh, yeah, that feels good. But I got to get back here because that's sin. That's what sin does. It keeps you bound. Keeps you drawing back. But when you let Christ come in and set you free, you're free indeed. I can walk in the freedom that he's given me. I can move in the way that he calls me to move. I am free. I am free. I am free. I'm no longer in bondage. It brings not only freedom, it brings me victory. It brings me that place that God says, I want you to abide in. In you, I can give you the freedom. Freedom from no hope. Freedom from death. See, death no longer has a sting. You may pass from this life, but it doesn't bring sting because you realize I'm transitioning from this life into the next. Well, my precious mama, been a little over 4.5 years ago, got a call, you need to come to the emergency room. And they have been working on her and working on her, and they says there's no more we could do. I walked in where she was laying there. She turned her head towards me, tear rolling down her cheek. I says, Mom, it's time to go. It's time to leave. It's time to go home. See, this world is not our home. I says, it's okay. We're going to be okay. It's okay. She had another tear float down. I put her close to me. And when I held on to her, she took her last breath. And I knew she transferred from this life into the eternal life. Because the Bible says that you leave this life, the spiritual man, not the natural man. The natural man is nothing but a shell. This is nothing but a shell holding the real man, the inner man, the spiritual portion. And when she passed on, and many of you have lost loved ones, and if they know the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the only way that you can get to heaven is knowing Jesus as your personal Savior and make Him Lord. You can't say He's just a deliverer because that's what Savior means. You got to make Him Lord. That's what they were doing. They were waving palms to the King. But He was saying, you're the Lord, not realizing what they were doing. But we know what we're doing. We can raise our palms as an allegiance and say, Hosanna, 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 praises to the Lord. See, that freedom from death, but it brings you into life. The wages of sin is death. A sinner is going to have 2 deaths. A saint will have possibly 1 death. That's the rapture takes place, and I believe the rapture is about ready to take place. Things are lining up so quickly, so fast. It's time we get busy. It's time we lift our palms to the Lord more now than ever. It's time we raise up His name more now than ever. It's time we declare who He is. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. I identify with Him. See, when the Apostle Paul identified with Christ, he says, I am crucified. He crucifies his desire because he wants the desire of Christ, which was to the will of the Father. Jesus fulfilled every promise, every prophecy that he could up until the point that is, there's more to come. Touch your neighbor, says there's more to come. See, Jesus came to set men free. In other words, there's the biggest jailbreak ever when you come to know the Lord. I never forget, I've seen on Facebook, and I flipped it on, and they was baptizing this one guy, and he's a pretty good-sized guy. So the pastor was off on one side. The deacon was behind him, helping him out. And another guy was on this other side. And this guy went down to be baptized. And the deacons that were there, he come up, and he goes, whoa! And he raised, and he went down, slipped. He took those other 2 deacons down with him. He found freedom to rejoice. His hands went up, and he was rejoicing. He come up wiping the water, spitting. It was the funniest thing to watch those deacons going, ooh. People think that we're crazy because they think we've lost our mind because we make him our Lord. But they don't realize, and just like the Jews here didn't realize who really Jesus was, even the disciples didn't understand fully who Jesus was. They just seen his miracles. That's all they wanted. They wanted to be fed. The 5,000, the 4,000, more was fed by his hand. That's all they wanted was the dead being raised to stop the ears, the deaf, they could hear again. The crippled could walk again. But that's all they wanted him for, the natural. But Jesus said, I've got a life to give you that's beyond this world. That's the reason why we raise our palms and lift him up. Go to Revelation chapter 7 as we bring things to, I'm not going to say conclusion, because the word never concludes. But we're going to go to Revelation chapter 7. We want to read something here that the Word of God gives us. Verses 9 and 10. It says, a great multitude that came from the tribulation, the great tribulation that the Word of God gives us and talks about. It says in verse 9, it says, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with what in their hands? Palm branches. So there's palm trees that's going to be in heaven, according to what I see here. And it says in verse 10, and crying out with a loud voice. It didn't say, shh. It said a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Salvation means deliverance. He brought deliverance. Thank God, jailhouse break has come to you today. You are free. I can raise my hands without even worrying about something else. I can say, Lord, I'm yours. Fully yours. A prophecy about what is going to take place in the future. This was palm raising in heaven. This was victory sound. This was sound of triumph. Psalms, it says that we should clap and have a sound of triumph. We clap because God is awesome and wonderful and glorious. And we can't know everything about him at this point in stage, but we can enter in to where his presence is. But we clap because of the sound, and we take our palms together. With a loud voice, we say, God is awesome. With a voice of triumph, glory and honor to him. What did Revelation tell us? That they said, that they cried with a loud voice saying, salvation belongs, deliverance belongs to the Lord, our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. It's a sound of joy. Overwhelming. If somebody would come in here today and sit next to you, and afterwards they would write you $1 million check tax-free. There's nothing that you have to do. Just they give it to you. What kind of person would you be at that point? You'd be a millionaire. But what would you do to the person that gave you that? Can I show you what I would do? Come here, honey.
You know what? She handed me that. I go, are you sure? Are you sure? Yes, it's yours. You don't have to come. It says, you can go cash it. You can put it in the bank. You can use it for whatever you want to. Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you. I would grab them and hug them. I might even give them a kiss on the cheek and say, thank you. You know what? Christ has given us more than what money can buy. More than anything else. He already wrote it. All we have to do is receive it. Some would say, no, I can't take that. Let me stand in your place. Let me have it.
Better get this. We're still recording. If that would take place, we'd be overjoyed. A lot of issues would be settled. When Jesus came and gave us his life, and he gave it without obligation, without anything we needed to do, it's free, and it'll be free for you to take. And just, you know what? When he did that, how many are saved in this house? Let me see your hands. You know you're on your way to heaven. You accepted Christ as your personal Savior. Even the cold one here is saved. I can see the hands go up underneath the coat. She's saved. You know you're on your way to heaven. But you know there's some that are still in the prison because they stepped out, they're halfway. They've not really stepped the other foot out. They like the pleasures of sin, and pleasures of sin is only for a season. After a while, it'll take a hold of you. An alcoholic will say, I'll never drink again, and with willpower, they end up the next day drunk. Because willpower will not settle it. But can I tell you, I know a power that's greater than willpower. His name is Jesus, and he brought the power through the Spirit of God that can give you the wherewith that you can step outside of the sin and step into the glorious place that God wants you to be. That's walking in faith. That's believing in him and walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the areas I want to be in. I think we need to come into a place not only of having a palm raising time, but we need to surrender everything over. Some of you have been carrying too much. It's time to release it to the Lord, because when you raise your palms, you can't carry it. You have to lay it aside. If you've been carrying whatever it is, one of the things I did when I went and traveled different to other countries, and I was walking into, and I had this one suitcase that they handed to me. They had already loaded it, the team that I had. Not realizing what was in, I said, I should have asked. And I said, what am I carrying in? He says, well, I didn't ask. But I got there, and when I went through customs, and they looked at it. They x-rayed it. They pulled me out, because they do it randomly. They pulled me out, and they x-rayed it, and then they opened it up and looked at it, and I go, oh, those are areas of non-prescription areas, like aspirin and things of that nature. That was what was in there. But they looked at the date, and it was a day late. If I got there the day before, I'd been okay. But I got there a day late, and you know what they did? They brought these soldiers up next to me. And they started patting me down, and they said, raise your hands. I raised my hands automatically, yes. I see the AK-47s that they were carrying, and all of a sudden I seen this other one carrying with a burp gun. I go, oh, Lord, I am dead now. And they took me back in this room, and I was standing between these two guards. But there was a lady, her name was Svetlana. I didn't know it at the time. She come out there, and next thing you know, she's talking to this colonel, and all of a sudden, she was really going at it. And I couldn't make out what she was going, and she looked at me with a big smile, and she goes, we'll get you out of there in just a minute. I thought, she can't speak English, because it's all Russian. And she's going, next thing you know, she walks in with the colonel. And she goes, you ready to get out of here? And says, are you kidding? I don't want to be in here anymore, surrounded by these guys. They're big. They have these guns, and I could die. I says, I want to get out of here. And she goes, good. Says, we're going to get you out of here. Colonel says, we apologize. Please don't take this wrong. But says, when we seen that, we didn't know this. So we walked out of there, and I'm walking with her, and I says, who are you? She goes, I'm Svetlana. I go, okay. And she goes, my ex-husband is over these area because he's in the KGB. I go, and his father-in-law is the head of KGB in the Soviet Union. I go, oh. And she goes, so I have some pull. I have some say. You know what she was acting like? The Holy Spirit. Talking on my behalf as the Holy Spirit comes right there. That's what God sent back the Holy Spirit for us. So we can walk even though you may be surrounded by things, and you can say, victory, victory, I raise my hands, and he'll come like whatever he says, speak on your behalf and set you free. When I walked out of that room, says, I never want to go back in there again. I thought I was maybe going to prison. I had to do everything I could, but she come like right now, and she was a representative, and she goes, you're the reason, said, I'm the reason why you're here. Because we are this, she's saved. She was filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Didn't even know it until later on. And we got to talking, we got to distributing the supplies that we brought in. We got to some things. He says, my daughter's saved. I says, oh, she is. She says, she's in the U.S. going to college. And she says, she'll be back. But she says, her daddy's under conviction. I got to meet him. He walked in. He says, I apologize for what they did to you. And I says, well, that's okay. That's fine. I'm out of there. He goes, I'm free. See, that's what God has given to you and I, freedom. When he gave us the payday, and he paid for it with his price of his life. Today on Palm Sunday, we need to be greater than what they were. We need to rejoice. Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. And what he's done, we need to see some palms. And God is looking for some palms to wave before him. God, I thank you. God, I praise you. God, you're worthy. God, you're worthy. Some of you ain't got it yet. Why ain't you getting your palms up? You need to let God see your palms. You need to say, I'm waving my palms. I'm rejoicing. Victory is mine. Joy comes now to me because of Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Stand to your feet if you would, please. God has done so.